Well, it's hard to believe that we're in April right now. And, of course, we had a snowstorm yesterday. An April snowstorm. Imagine. Well, around these parts, that's what we get. New prayer list for anyone who needs one. Keep in mind, we need to continue to pray for June. Have you had your MRI yet, June?
No, they canceled it.
Oh, reschedule?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, pray for June. Pray for Rita. Rita hasn't been here because she's trying to sell her properties, and she's real busy with that right now. And then Matt, of course, with the Hope for Kids. They really need a bus. I know, because I've done bus ministry in the past. And we had three buses in Peabody at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And, of course, I was captain of one, bus captain on one of them. And we would pick up, like probably 60, between 60 and 70 kids on my bus alone. And we had three buses, and we filled all three buses every Saturday for the kids' church. It was great. A lot of kids got saved. Pray for Mike. Mike, for healing, spiritually and physically. And then, of course, continue to pray for me, my Uber driving, for safety. Had a couple of incidents this week where guys were really just getting angry and toward me. And there's something going on in the spirit realm, folks, because people are wanting to hurt others. And it's just getting worse in these last days. They want to get violent. And like the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, the way of peace they have not known. Violence is in their paths. So pray for the Lord's hedge of protection to remain upon me. He is faithful, I'll tell you. One Uber driver got beat up real bad last week, guy from Medford. And they put him in the hospital and stole his car. So I need your prayers. Pastor Leon, praise God, he went got the triple bypass. He's doing well. And, of course, Phyllis, his dear wife, they'll be back within a few weeks. He's just in the healing stage right now. He can't wait to get back. Pray for Scott's daughter, Emily, for salvation. And then Wilson Field, my brother John, preaching in all the prisons of New England. I love that. He goes to all the penitentiaries in all six states of New England and preaches the gospel. That's many, many prisoners have been saved through his outreach. And then pray for our missionaries, of course, around the world. All right, folks, for our final hymn this morning prior to the message, let's grab our hymnals and so thankful for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Hymn 52. We'll stand for hymn 52. And we'll sing the first and the second. Victory in Jesus. That's what we've got. Praise the Lord for it. Hymn 52. Uh-huh. We may have to switch songs real quick here. And we can do that. Someone got a testimony in the meantime. Anybody at all? Something the Lord's done for you this week, perhaps. Hymns for the home, volume 2. Let's get the right disc. June's got one.
All I get is that I need prayers for me.
Yeah.
Because I just asked the Lord, because right now I know I'm happy in the Lord's house, but I'm not happy with myself, because I need help. I just need help, because I had a real major and a real painful seizure.
Oh, really?
Myself into the bed, into the bed frame, into the cabinet. I twisted myself, and I hurt my arm.
Boy,
my arm now is all swollen.
Oh, no.
If I sleep on it or move it, it hurts.
We need to lift Sister June up in prayer because she's hurt her arm and she had a seizure. So that's very important. All right. For our final hymn this morning, let's open up to hymn 74. Hymn 74. So sorry about that. Choir is good to go now. With hymn 74, we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth of hymn 74. Yeah, Cal. Sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to glory. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, then my burdened soul found liberty. And brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty hope that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Praise the Lord, people. Good singing. Please be seated. Ah, what a blessing. At Calvary. What a great, great hymn of the faith. We'll get back to singing in a bit. Let's grab our Bibles, though, at this time. I'd ask you to open up to the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let me give you the latest numbers for the month of March. The website did phenomenally well again, breaking a new all-time record. Let me just give you that real quick. It was we reached 745,665 total for the month of March. We had a total of 34,565 visits, coming out to an average of 1,115 a day around the world. So we're preaching 24/7 via the website somewhere. Praise the Lord. I had a preacher call me yesterday and said that he loves our website so much that he wants to have one designed by Michelle for his church, and I gave him her information. So that's another, I think that's the sixth customer I've gotten for her. People love our website so much they want one. So that's good. That's good business for Michelle. But yeah, folks, that's over 1,100 a day we're reaching, this little church. 1,100 folks a day. So our church is actually much bigger than it looks. what a blessing. All righty. Psalms, Psalms are hymns, you know. It's the Hebrew hymn book. But in Psalm number 4 this morning, in Psalm number 4, before we begin reading a Psalm of David in Psalm number 4, I want to ask you a question. Because many churches are not preaching on this topic lately, because the church is becoming mingled with the world. The world is becoming mingled into the church. But did you know that as a child of God, you are able to live a godly life? You are. The Bible says you are. The Holy Spirit in you says you can. So don't listen to the lies of the devil and the false preachers that say, oh, it's just, you know, the way I am, just a bad habit. No, you can live a godly life. Look in Psalm 4, David believed it. And we read in Psalm 4, verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know thou that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. I want to preach you this morning on him that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in mine heart, more than in the time of that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I want to speak to you, beloved, briefly on him that is godly. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the credible passage of scripture in Psalm 4. How we thank you that David described him or her that is godly in a few different ways here in this psalm. And Lord, I'm so thankful that way back here, couched in the Old Testament book of Psalms, we find that the king of Israel, the sweet psalmist, believed that he could live a godly life and that that would please you. Lord, I thank you that all through the Bible, we find examples of people who feared God and lived a godly life before him. And Lord, I'm so thankful that today, under the dispensation of grace, we have something so much greater. That is the Spirit of God himself within. Lord, surely, we upon whom the ends of the world are come, are without excuse not to live in godliness and sanctification before an evil and dark world today. Lord, I pray that you would teach us through your word, Holy Spirit, what it means to be him or her that is godly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Him that is godly. Beloved, here in Psalm 4, we find David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, revealing a most incredible truth concerning the godly in their relationship to Yahweh. Yahweh is the Old Testament name by which the Hebrews called God, the Lord God of Israel. What's that mean, Yahweh? It means he causes to be or exist. He creates. That's Yahweh. That's the eternally self-existent one, Yah. That's Yah. That's God. And way causes to be. Yahweh. See? This name, Yahweh, points directly to the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. Listen, it's the only Hebrew name found in the Old Testament for God that reveals the Trinity, Yahweh. That's why they called him Yahweh. Here's the amazing part of David's revelation in verse 3, which I'll use for my text. That is that this glorious, eternal, omnipotent God, Yahweh, which is spelled J-E-S-U-S in the New Testament, would seek and desire a personal, one-on-one, intimate relationship with a transient, corrupt, self-destructive being as man. But he does. He desires intimacy with you. He desires to spend time with you. And when he does, he makes you godly. I hope somebody's listening. Beloved, I want us to consider this morning three things from my text in verse 3. The first one is this. I want us to first notice the character of the person described in verse 3. Look at it. Verse 3 we read, "But know that the Lord had set apart him that is godly for himself." The first characteristic spoken of concerning this individual is that he or she is godliness. He or she is godly. Now, beloved, godliness is that which immediately relates to God himself. Godlikeness. It has him for its object, and in it we are made partakers of his divine nature. In other words, he makes us godly by becoming part of our being. He comes into us, makes us spiritually alive, and makes us godly. Now, to live godly directly involves our conduct toward God and consists in making him the supreme object of our veneration. We must revere him. We must contemplate his glory and live according to his dictates. Now, this character of the person described, I see five ways in which he describes it. First, to be godly is to be like God. Amen? Listen, this is to imitate his moral character and to bear a resemblance to it. We must learn to think like God thinks. We must learn to act like God acts, to love what God loves, to hate what he hates. In Psalm 112, flip over to Psalm 112 real quick. To be godly is to be like God. You can be. I've got good news, church, this morning. You can be like God. I didn't say you could be God. Don't be deceived by those who think they're God. They're badly mistaken. But I said you could be like him. Look at Psalm 112 for a moment. Look at verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. In Psalm 112 verse 4, David again describes the godly. And he describes them in a number of ways. First, he has light, not darkness. Where's that light come from? It comes from God. You got the light of God. He's gracious, full of grace, full of compassion, compassionate to others, and righteous. That's doing right in the sight of God. So the first characteristic I see of the character of the godly is that they be like God. Secondly, something else. To be godly in character is to live in the fear of God. To live in the fear of God. People don't fear God today. People mock God. People blaspheme his holy name. You know what I hate? I hate this. All day long you hear people cussing and using Jesus' name. They're using it in a blasphemous way. And that's evil. That's because they don't fear God. They think Jesus is some puppet. They think Jesus is some fairy tale. They have no idea that when he comes back, he's coming with the wrath of God for this world. Listen now. To be godly is to live in the fear of God. This is to walk in his sight. This is to have a special regard to his immediate presence, seeking his approval in all things. Amen? In Genesis 17, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God is saying to Abraham, I want you to fear me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be godly. And he was. He walked before God by faith. Thirdly, concerning the character of the godly. To be godly is to make the will of God the rule of our life. Amen? To fulfill his holy will for our lives must become our primary objective for living. Did you hear what I said? Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say must be centered around the will of God for me. Listen, to be godly is to seek the will of God as our primary goal in life. Fourthly, the character of the godly. To be godly is to make the glory of God the purpose of all we do. Listen, true godliness yearns for the glory of God. and is deeply concerned in its advancement amongst Adam's race. Do you seek to glorify God? That's the question this morning. Because if you want to be godly, you got to be seeking His glory. You know, a lot of people in the world today, Christian people, they seek glory, but not for God. Oh, I can sing so good. Oh, I can teach the Bible so well. Hey, you're supposed to bring glory to God, not self. Oh, beloved, self must be removed from this picture. Fifthly, to be godly is to seek communion with God. That is to spend time with Him in prayer, in scripture, in worship, in adoration. This becomes our delight, delighting in God. Amen? Seeking communion with Him. This makes one godly. You know, as they said about the apostles over there in the book of Acts, it says, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, people are going to know it. People are going to recognize it. Richard Wurmbrand, author of, you may have read this book. He's the author of Tortured for Christ, his autobiography. He was a Jewish convert to Christianity. In his autobiography, he tells how, when being tortured in the prison by the brutal guards, he learned something from them. He explains it in the book thus, as they allowed no place for Jesus in their hearts, so I decided I would leave not the smallest place for Satan in mine. He said, they were so evil in torturing me, they just wanted to hurt me so bad, they had no place for Jesus. And I determined that I would have no place for the devil in my heart. Beloved, that was Richard Wurmbrand's character. He was a godly man. We've seen the character of the person described. But now, secondly, let us observe the separation of that person that is godly. Notice the separation of that person back in verse 3. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath what? Set apart him that is godly for himself. Wait a minute. I see a great separation taking place in verse number 3. There's something here, beloved, that God wants us to know. Notice the wording in verse 3. God says, I want you to know that you've been set apart unto me. Now listen, all those who are godly are set apart unto God. Just like all the firstborn of Israel from the rest of this world, who are devoted to the Lord, they're separated. People today don't want to serve God. You know why? They don't want to be separated unto Him. They want to keep and retain their own little box, their own lifestyle. They don't want to be separated unto God in His service. Now, listen, church. All those who are truly godly have been chosen out of this world and consecrated unto God. This separation is not accomplished by an act of your will. But listen to me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, for God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Therefore, this separation is an act of God. Notice the wording in verse 3. But know that the Lord had set apart him that is godly for himself. You didn't do that. He did. Oh, this is so good. It's accomplished through the Spirit of Christ coming into one and separating them from self and the devil and the world and sin unto the living God. You have been separated. Oh, that's so good. In John chapter 17, quickly hold your place in Psalms and flip over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. You know, my favorite chapter. Oh, so good. This is the Lord's Prayer. The Our Father, that's the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 17 of John, look with me at verse 14. Jesus says, words in red, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Time out, church. You are not of this world. I must remind us, we are not of this world. We are of God. We are of another world called heaven. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Look at it. The world has hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray, not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Jesus prays that we would be kept separated from evil. See that? Why? Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wait a minute. Did you catch that in verse 16? As Jesus Christ is not of this world system of evil, neither are you. Look at it. 17, sanctify them. How? Through thy word. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wow. We are separated from this evil world according to Jesus Christ. Who did it? God. Listen now. Concerning this separation of the godly, we are set apart in a way of divine providence. God is in control of everything. God calls the shots, not man. Now listen, Almighty God has a special regard to these individuals in all dispensations. Him that is godly, her that is godly, God respects. Now, when God destroyed the old world by a flood, he set apart Noah and his family for himself. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by fire, he set apart Lot and his family for himself. God is providentially watching over every single detail of the lives of him or her that is godly. You hear what I said? When I gave that testimony this morning about those two guys that wanted to knock my block off because I'm an Uber driver, they call me a cracker, whatever that is. I think it's a derogatory term toward white people. Okay, now, folks, what I'm saying is this. God protected me. God protected me. Why? I'm set apart. I'm set apart. Those guys didn't know I'm set apart to God, but God did. And God intervened, and I wasn't touched. Listen, the lives of him or her that is godly are set apart divinely for God and for his use. He's in control of everything in the universe. Amen? That means he's in control of everything in my life. Way back in 1509, like 500 years ago, there were two brothers standing in a field. They were talking in one afternoon. While they were busily engaged in their discussion, suddenly a violent thunderstorm overtook them in the field. One of them was instantly struck dead by a lightning bolt, while the other, standing right next to his brother, was unharmed. That man would go on to become the greatest reformer in the history of the world. His name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther's brother died before his eyes. Martin Luther's brother was an infidel. You know what he was talking to him about? Jesus Christ. And he said, I won't believe. Boom! A lightning bolt struck him dead before Luther's eyes. He dedicated his life to the Reformation from that day forth. It changed Luther forever in the course of Christianity. His name, Martin Luther, you know what that was? It was God's providence over Martin Luther's life. For he was indeed a godly man. Martin Luther was a godly man. God protected him from that lightning bolt because he, not his brother, had been set apart under God. Oh, folks, this is a serious message. We've seen the character of the godly. We've seen the separation of the godly. But finally, let's notice the reason why they are separated. Why? Why has God separated you from the wicked? Listen. This is good. Go back to Psalm number 4. Look with me in our text in verse 3. But know that the Lord had set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The reason why you and I have been separated from this evil world of darkness is for God himself. It's about to get good in here. Because, beloved, here in verse 3 is one of the Bible's most precious truths revealed. That is, that Yahweh, the creator of all, the eternally self-existent one, who gives us our being, who creates life, would actually desire to have a particular portion of Adam's fallen race who've been specifically separated and fashioned for godliness just for himself. You are so important because God has chosen you to himself. Folks, I am so thankful this morning that I'm standing behind this pulpit, that I've been separated unto God, that I belong to him, and the reason why he did it is for himself, not for you. Wow! Look at it! But know that the Lord had set apart him that is godly for himself. What did we say in point number 2? He's sovereign. He's providential. Everything he does is not for you. It's for himself. God does what he wants and no one stops him. He says, who will let? Who will prevent me from working? Folks, the reason why you've been separated is for God himself. Listen now. Just for his own enjoyment, you've been separated. Just for his own delight. Just for his own communion throughout all of eternity future, you've been set apart. For himself! Oh my! I hope somebody's getting this today. Just for whatever he pleases to do with us, we're set apart. We are not here for us. We're here for him. Why? Because we've been set apart for him. Oh, you got to get the wording in verse 3. I see two ways for why we're separated to him himself. First, that we might be existing for his pleasure and his alone. Beloved, think about this. Of all the 7 billion people on planet Earth, how few are those who are truly living their daily lives with a single eye toward pleasing God? Do you realize the minority that you are in? Oh me, oh my. It boggles my mind how few we are, like the last of the Mohicans. It's unbelievable. Where are the godly? What has happened to this world? Nobody wants to live for God anymore. I'm talking about the church. Oh, folks, it's scary. We've got an epidemic of apostasy going on, just like the Bible said. Oh, folks, you are in the minority. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not, you godly. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. He says, you better stand in awe of this God because you've been separated unto him. Verse 5, offer, wait a minute. I thought the offering was done. Yeah, once and for all, Jesus Christ offered himself for sin. But he's not talking about that. He's not talking about a sin offering. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. He's saying there's one thing you can offer to God, a righteous walk, a righteous, godly life. He's saying, offer to God a godly life that is pleasing to him. Secondly, though, not only did the reason why is because we might exist for his pleasure, but secondly, so that, why were you separated to him? So that we might be his everlasting portion. What? Folks, listen to me. It is not just that we might bring him pleasure in this life that we are separated unto him, but that we may live forever and ever in his heavenly home above in the eternal enjoyment of his glorious presence. You think about that. You've been separated unto God, and we talk all about, yeah, this life and serving him. But folks, that's just scratching the surface. Look at verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in mine heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now, David is saying in verse 6, 7, and 8, that thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety forevermore. David is not talking temporarily in verse 8. He's speaking eternally. Do you realize, folks, I talked about the Lord saving me from those crazy guys this week. They wanted to kill me. God saved me. I wasn't scratched. You know why? Because God has set me apart to dwell safely in his presence forever. Forever. You see that? Folks, this is so good that this separation is forevermore. In closing, I want to make two inferences from our passage here. Look at verse 3. He says, but no. The first thing I want you to see is found in verse 3. Think with me. Who is God speaking to in verse 3? Look at the next word. But know thou. No, he wants you, child of God, to know something. Very important. Now, two things he wants us to know. First, to the lost. He wants them to know, to let the ungodly know, that however they may treat the godly in this life, God is their friend, and he will delight in them when this life is over, forever. He wants the ungodly to know that. You know what God said to the friends of Job down there that were persecuting him for 40 chapters or so? He said, Job is my servant. Go to him and he'll pray for you. Listen to me. He will own you before this evil, ungodly world because you're set apart to him. Okay? First, he wants the ungodly to know that. Secondly, to the saved, to let the godly know that they belong to him. And that they are placed under his divine protection, both now and forevermore. Wow. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that he's going to watch over you night and day. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. Why? Because he loves you. On my message this morning, him that is godly. Him that is godly. In closing, let me give you this, folks, and I'll be done. J.G. Morrison once said, it takes two things to blow down a tree. A storm without and spoiling within. And so it is with men and women. The winds and storms of affliction will come into everyone's life. But if there is genuine godliness within, they'll bend but not break in times of trials and testings. But if there is rottenness, ungodliness within, they will surely both bend and break. Folks, godliness will keep you going in this life. Godliness is profitable, both now and throughout all of eternity, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a great spiritual lesson in that story about the tree. Beloved, those that are godly will have no problem standing, no matter what the devil or this old world may throw their way, for they have a great strength within. Even the Spirit of God himself, who makes them whole godly. Father in heaven, I would thank you this morning for him and or her that is godly. Lord, I thank you that you alone get the glory for it, because you alone can make us godly. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can't make ourselves godly, but I'm so thankful for the one who can. His name is Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that Jesus died not only for our sins, but for our sin. That's our sin nature. He crucified it on that cross so that we could live godly lives in this life and then forevermore. Lord, we are so thankful this morning that we understand the truth from Scripture, that we have been set apart. I am so glad that I am set apart from that evil, dark, wicked world out there. Lord, it's growing much darker these days. The evil is permeating every crack and crevice of the earth. And oh God, as we see it getting further and further away from you, we need to be drawing closer and closer to you. We need to be that special remnant in Malachi chapter 4 that spake often one to another and the Lord took account. Lord, help us in these final days to be a beacon, a shining light on an hill which cannot be hid, that the world would know that we over in that Loudmouth Baptist Church were separated unto God. We desire godliness in our lives. And Lord, it grieves us when we're not that way. That's your spirit within, confirming our salvation. That we can't live any old way we choose, but we must seek after godliness. For it is the chosen path of the faithful down through the ages. Lord, there is no magical formula. Jesus Christ is the formula. He is the answer. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the one that puts the desire within us to be like him, to be godly. It's a privilege, Lord, that the world knows nothing about. We're so grateful, Lord, for the opening of our blinded eyes, that we see this truth and we understand it. And Lord, therefore we are responsible to live according to it. Help us, Lord, by your grace, Holy Spirit, strengthen and empower your people that we may live godly lives before thee unto the pleasing of God. For this is well-pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And please open up to hymn number 174. Hymn 174. For our closing hymn this morning, the altar is open. Perhaps you want to come and freshly consecrate your life to the Lord, to be a godly woman of God, a godly man of God. And hymn 174, we'll sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." It's all based on love, you know. I'm so thankful for that. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Yes, indeed. How I love you. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfectly. Oh, yes. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because it tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Everybody now. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first Oh, praise the Lord. Folks are still praying at the altar. And as we close in prayer, don't forget tonight at 6, we'll be back again at it. And what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Father, how we thank you. Good service this morning, good singing. But Lord, especially, we thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, for the profound truth that you have chosen us to live godly lives. You have chosen us out of this sin-sick world to be peculiarly different from it. We're so grateful for that this morning, Lord. We're so thankful that we know it. And Lord, now our responsibility is to act upon what we know. I love how you began verse 3, Father. You said, but know thou, know this, that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that we have been chosen to be your very own dear children. We are for yourself, Lord. We are for God. We exist for his pleasure. Wow. Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for the encouragement, Holy Spirit, from your word that we've received. We're so thankful that we've been reminded of who we are and whose we are. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us to live this life in all godliness and sanctification through thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.